Hey, we're now on part four of the series. In spiritual warfare, the five A's. Number one was awareness. Number two was alert. Number three, authority. And number four, armor. Now, I was just at a place where I asked in a crowd that looked like pretty on fire believers, how many here know about the armor of God and have it on? Raise your hand. About 10%. I was shocked. That was the lowest number I've ever seen in a Christian kind of meeting. And I especially where they're praying and where there's soul winning and all kinds of things going on, yet 90% could not raise their hand. How about you? If I'm going to ask you right now, do you know what the armor of God is? And even more important, too, do you have it on? Now, you got to know what it is to have it on, and you got to know what it means to have it on. Because it involves, simple, clear, basic biblical teaching for the believer. Every new believer should learn about the armor of God in the beginning. Listen, why don't we teach this material in the beginning for new believers so as to equip them so that they won't be attacked with no weaponry and that they will be beaten and drawn down? How many of us have met believers? I mean, even new believers that after 6 months, they're falling into all kinds of trouble, and all of a sudden, they're away from the body of Christ. They're defeated. They're down because the enemy has come in on them, and they didn't know how to fight. They were unaware, and they should have been aware and known how to become aware. They should have learned how to be alert, how to look for impending danger, how to incorporate in their prayers that sense of watch. Then, in that watching, in that awareness, use their authority in Christ, that they know they have authority. You have the same authority that I do. I don't care if I've done 500 deliverances. The only thing I might have is experience in it. Experience in soul winning. You'll never really become experienced in soul winning unless you do it. You'll never become experienced in praying in and by the power of the Holy Spirit unless you do it. You're not going to become experienced in the joy, in the embrace, in the fellowship of worship, unless you're doing it. Unless you put the Word of God into practice, you do not become experienced. And so I am urging you to become, in this ramping up of spiritual warfare as never before in history, and the coming massive, massive manifestation of dark powers, as long as you're aware, alert, have the authority down clearly and use it, your armor on, and move into action, which is going to be our fifth point. That's the next one. But let's touch on armor, the armor of God. Let me read it out of Ephesians. It begins in verse 10, chapter 6, verse 10. God says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Mighty power has reference to the manifest felt power of God. Let me give you something, and I hope you'll remember this. We receive all that God has and all that God gives in Christ by faith alone. But we manifest it in our obedience. Obedience is faith in action. But we manifest it in our obedience. You can read in Thessalonians later on, 1 Thessalonians rather, chapter 2, about those who believe the word as it actually is, the word of God, that is at work in those who believe it. It's operative in those who are putting it into practice. As a matter of fact, in 1 John chapter 2, you'll read these words, I write to you, young men, because you are strong. You've overcome the evil one. Why is that? Because the word of God, meno, Greek word meaning it lives in you, it dwells in you based on your believing and obeying it. You believe and obey the word of God, you will become stronger and stronger and stronger. You will know Christ better and better and better. You'll become bolder and bolder. You'll become more and more powerful, more and more knowledgeable, more and more able. Oh, my dear friend, get in the word, and here's what the word of God says. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. How do you do that? Verse 11. In the imperative, the command of God is to put on the full armor of God. Put it on. God doesn't say, pray it on. He says, put it on. I hear people say, I pray the armor on every single day. No, that's not what you do. God said, put it on. You don't pray it on. You put it on and you leave it on. Someone says, well, I put on the armor every day. Why are you taking it off? You don't need to take it off. You need to put it on, leave it on, so you can take your stand against Notice what it says in the context of spiritual war. And probably out of all books, Ephesians, and out of all the chapters, this chapter, and out of all the sections, this section teaches us about spiritual war. The reason to put on the full armor of God, number one, is to be strong in the Lord, be manifesting his mighty power. And the goal is so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. I think many Christians need to quit denying the spiritual battle. Quit hiding from the reality of it and being defeated. It is time to not only know your own victory and your own awareness, alertness, authority, but realizing whether or not you have the armor of God on. Now, in a short 10-minute little message here, I think you can have the foundations of this and have the armor of God on. Are you living by the pure truth of God? Are you living righteously? I mean, doing the right things according to the Word of God. Are you ready for ministry based on peace with God in the gospel? Let me ask you another thing. Do you have the shield of faith up by which you're able to bust, blow apart, extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one? Now I'm going to ask a question. Do you even know what the flaming arrows of the evil one are? How about the helmet of salvation? The full concept of salvation. Saved, Christ in you, never leave you, never forsake you, forgiven, the power of the new nature, your freedom from Satan's rules, God's ownership, authority, all of that which salvation involves is what we need to have on, appropriating. Count yourself dead to sin, alive to God. That's what Romans 6 tells us. What about the sword of the Spirit, the power of the use of the Word of God? And then verse 18, pray in the Spirit, locative of spear in the Greek, meaning in the Spirit, the power, the burden, the leading, the guiding, the cutting edge of God, the Holy Spirit. He is the spirit of prayer and supplication that even the prophets were moved by and prayed by. Who else can give you the heads up? Who else can make you aware? Who else can put it in you and on you what to pray as you are praying? And yet we're called to be literally a fountain of prayer. Pray in the power and fullness and movement of the Spirit of God on all occasions and all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, look what it says. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Now, let's go over those just quickly, one by one. The concepts of putting on the armor of God. The reason, so that you can be strong in the Lord. That's the number one reason. Be strong in the Lord and in the manifested mighty power of God. The idea of manifested, that sense of felt, full presence of God. That's what the clothing of the power that Jesus talked about from on high is all about. Spirit-filled believers in the book of Acts, I mean, they were noticeable. Because of the manifest, operative presence of God's power. Well, how can that be in your life? Well, God says, put on the full armor of God. You're commanded to put on. Listen, if you're listening right now as a believer and will not do this, then literally as a disciple, you're in disobedience to God. And you will not be as strong as you could be. You might even lose in some battles. I think that if you don't have the armor of God on, I don't know if you can be really that aware or alert, because armor of God includes alertness and awareness and using even your authority. So verse 11, chapter 6, Ephesians, put on the full armor of God, all of it, so that, with the result that, or purpose that, you can take your stand. Notice, you are supposed to take your stand against the devil's schemes. Our struggle, look at the next verse, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. You see, Christian, the battle, the real battle is all spiritual. It is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. See how the Spirit of God repeats this so that you can, when the day of evil comes, you can take your stand. Stand your ground. Be immovable. Stand firm. Now, we're to stand firm, number one, putting truth into practice. It's not just saying, I accept all the truth, but putting it into practice, aletheia, that you're living by the truth, living in pure honesty, living by the truth leaves no holes for the enemy. Living by the truth of the Word of God and living in truth gives the enemy no room and manifests that truth in your life. Also then, next, living in righteousness. Not only do you accept the righteousness of God in Christ, that you accept that God has made you righteous by the righteousness of Christ, but we're to live it out. In obedience to the Word of God, we're to do the right things. We're to live out. So in biblical obedience, you are living righteously, biblically. Therefore, you are not living with some known sin in your life. Ephesians 4 talks about giving the devil room, a right. And that's all about if you're opening the doors in the flesh, sin. But instead, walking in the Spirit, in obedience to the Word of God, that as you're living out, walking in righteousness, again, the strength of the Lord, the mighty power, is manifest. Your feet to be fitted with the readiness, the idea of readiness in ministry, readiness in all that's going on, preparedness. It comes from the gospel of peace. You're at peace with God. You have the peace of God. And in that peace with God and having the peace of God, and in your walk with God, there is a readiness in spiritual battle. You know you're on the right side. You know you're on in good relationship with God. You're in, you have peace. You experience that peace. And that enables a readiness, a preparedness that comes from the gospel of peace. And all that it affords, and I believe includes the gospel of peace, includes the authority given to us. A readiness to stand against the enemy. A readiness to pray against the enemy. A readiness to ask God to bring his hand against radical spiritual dark powers. Now in verse 16, in addition to all of that, take up the shield of faith. Don't let your faith down. Lift it up. When Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you guys as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. That's the target, ultimately, of the enemy, to get your faith to fail. Because faith means I'm believing God, what God says. I'm putting truth into practice, living out the righteousness, and I am ready. And I got the shield of faith up. You know what? It says, by having that shield of faith up, you can extinguish, put out all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Please understand what these arrows are. Involuntary feelings and thoughts coming against you, whether through somebody, through institution, or directly. The involuntary feelings and thoughts that come to suppress you, oppress you, to suggest to you lies. Lifting up the shield of faith, standing in the Word and quoting it too, it says you can extinguish all those poisonous, flaming, deadly arrows. The enemy's going to send them. The enemy's going to send them. There's a lot of Christians walking around with arrows in their head. The enemy's going to send these suggestions and feelings and thoughts that are run contrary to the Word of God, to the mission of God, to your walk with God, and try to break down your faith and fill you with doubt and bring you down. Well, if you are lifting up the shield of faith, which involves, well, you can say, confess the Word of God, cling to the Word of God, quote the Word of God, mention it. I mean, faith in Christ and in His Word, and let nothing take you away from that. Well, by that, you can literally crush the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, let me go on to the helmet of salvation. All that it means, total forgiveness, freedom from the power of the sin nature, ultimately the gift of eternal life, knowing God, having peace with God, declared righteous in God's sight because of the blood of Christ, being empowered, given the authority, the joy of the Lord, Jesus' literal presence in you, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the helmet of salvation. All that salvation involves should be counted upon, appropriated, and lived in. And then what about the sword of the Spirit? That kind of picture of an offensive weapon, a weapon of a battle. All this is about weaponry. The Word of God. That's what Jesus used in Matthew chapter 4. I mean, even Satan tried to quote the word, but he can't quote it in context. He never will quote it correctly. I think it's because he won't and because he can't. But we're to know the word of God so that we can, in the midst of spiritual battle, stand our ground, quote it if we need to, speak it out loud, as I've done. It's great work in that. Believing it, obeying it, using it. For every lie of the enemy, for everything that he sends, there is a word of God that can put it out, can bring us truth and lead us in righteousness and keep us lifting the shield of faith and being ready and having the fullness of that salvation on. And then the next verse, which I think we should not move away from, or not, some people don't include this in the armor of God, but it's part of it. And pray, Greek word, locative of spirit, in the spirit of, presence of, power of the Holy Spirit. Notice what God says, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Isn't that amazing? Just literally, virtually a fountain of prayer. Praying with the aid, there is no higher aid than the Spirit of God. There is no one that can make you aware and lead and guide and direct, and no one can do more. No one can bring, like, the pertinent scripture, people's names. In the context of praying, you have the greatest helper possible. Holy Spirit knows everything. So as you're praying, and then you're watching for any impending danger, the Spirit of God can give you an alertness for yourself, your family, for others, the church, society, your nation. But obviously, stay aggressive about your prayer, intercession, and that would include warfare prayer. Praying for the lost, praying for the church, praying for revival, praying for healing, praying for God's power and gifts and workings to be operative. And then praying against, in the name of Christ, with authority, your authority in Christ, against any and all of what the enemy is doing. Well, let me tell you something. This took a little longer, and I figure it would. We're about at 17 minutes. But understand, maybe go over a broader study. These are only little snippets, literally, but hopefully foundational. Number one, awareness. Number two, being alert. Number three, knowing your authority, having and using that authority. Number four, the armor of God and the ability to be strong in the Lord and in His manifested mighty power in your life. Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. God bless.